Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Students for doing that. I mean, if you can make money, can you imagine what it would have been like if you were in college?
Me?
Yeah, if you were an athlete that was able to get money. Wow.
I mean, so are we changing the whole premise to I'm an athlete?
Well, I mean, it's what you have there? To. Because you have to put yourself in their shoes.
Well, I'll say this about the NIL world. Is it does make it more attractive for players to stay. That's like if you're a college fan first, and there's plenty of you out there that are college fans first, and you don't like the NIL world, which there's plenty of you out there that don't like one the NIL world. The one more year funds or the stay and make money, you know, if you the guys at the top are probably not staying. But I bet it cuts down on the fringe players that leave. The guys that are in NBA, you're talking about borderline first-round picks or second-round picks or guys that just want to get some money and doesn't care if it's the G League or Europe or whatever. Those guys might be more compelled to stay. And in college football, the mid-round guys are more likely to stay.
Yeah, but they're also more likely to transfer. I mean, stay in college football, yes. Stay at the school that they're at, not necessarily.
Well, that's a different rule, right? That's the transfer portal allowing for immediate eligibility. When you put those two things together, it really has led to pretty massive amounts of player turnover.
Chaos.
Maybe they shouldn't have introduced them both at the same time.
Well,
but that's the world. Like we said, the world we live in.
There'll be guardrails at some point, you would think, but not today.
Not yet. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. So Pistons schedule is out for people who missed it. Game one, Saturday, we knew that. 6 o'clock in Madison Square Garden. Game two is Monday night at 7:30. And game three, the first game in Detroit, is Thursday night. Time to be determined. Thursday night also happens to be the first round of the NFL draft. If you've been waiting for this moment to get the schedule, game four in Detroit, the second one hosted here, will be Sunday at 1. And then you got game five Tuesday, game six the following Thursday. That's back in Detroit. Detroit, you can buy tickets to game one, two, or three in Detroit, which is game three, four, or six of the series, right? That makes sense. Everybody follow. Now that those dates and times are out, I imagine tickets are going to move pretty quickly because it's far more convenient to know actually when the games are. Question becomes, do people choose not to go to game one in Detroit because it's the same time as the NFL draft, which is a really big sports night. And I know for some people this decision is easy. The decision will be, yeah, I'm not going to that game. I'm watching the draft and the Pistons. I'll take them both in. Or it might be easy. Are you kidding me? It's a playoff game. I've been waiting for this for a long time. For others, it might not be as easy or the simple decision. We've gotten this. I saw this feedback probably more than anything. I'll just get tickets to another game. I'm not going Thursday. I'll go Sunday or I'll get tickets for game six, which I feel like is going to be the game to have tickets for, because I'm very confident that the Pistons are going to push this thing deep into a deep series. And with that, you know, the deeper you get, the more coveted the ticket is. If I'm choosing one game, even though there's no guarantee there'll be a game six, that's a ticket I'm going after. But now that the game times are out, yeah, it kind of sucks that it's up against the NFL draft. Yeah. I mean, we'll have divided attention for sure for what we do. But the good news is, unless that game's like a 9 o'clock start and the time hasn't been determined yet, and it seems unlikely that it would be a 9 o'clock start, Scott Anderson, the Pistons game will be over most likely before the Lions pick.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I don't know what time these games started last year. If the earlier game was a 7 o'clock tip, I would think they'd probably want to make it earlier, like 7 as opposed to 7:30, just because of that second game. They want to get both audiences. I think it's pretty safe to say that Detroit will be playing the earlier game. They're not going to be playing the night game, because if you have Eastern Western Conference, Western Conference games be at night.
They'll all be at night. It's just later.
Well, yeah, it's later, but I'm saying the 7 o'clock Pacific time as opposed to 7 o'clock Eastern time. So that being said, you know, where the Lions stay at 28, yeah, you're likely to see the Pistons game finish up before the Lions pick.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Lions move up.
You know, now that you bring it up, would the NBA in any way benefit from what college basketball does? And that is, in this first round, when you have eight series going on, that you go noon, 3, 7. And I'm, you know, because...
No.
The TV... Yeah, but see, the thing is, they have games on at the same time at night. You're splitting the audience. So if you... Can you capture the country the way college basketball does on the Thursday, Friday of the first round?
I understand what you're trying to say there. Yeah. I don't think so.
No.
I would say no. College basketball, it's a tradition. You know, to try to start that in the pros, I think it'd be real slow to get off the ground there. I don't think many people would, you know, care about the noon start.
Probably not, but I think it would be cool.
I thought you were going to say just stagger the starts. I didn't realize you're going to go full on.
Yeah, let's go noon, 3, 7, and 10. Let's do it that way instead of having two games at 7 and two games at 10, or one game at 7, the other at 7:30, one at 9, one at 9:30.
Well, why not start one at 5?
Yeah, I'm on board with trying to figure out, because I got to tell you, that's what the whole kind of ridiculous in-season, one-and-done NBA Cup is about, trying to capture some of that excitement.
What's the earliest game for the Sweet 16?
7.
Then that's...
Yeah, I mean, the Sweet 16 exactly what 7. We're doing, start at 7 and 7:30, and then
here we are.
9:30 and 10.
There it is.
248-539-9797. You find the Tigers lineup to be interesting today. We will get to that coming up today at 12:30, leading into Tiger baseball afternoon game at Milwaukee. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, during the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all new customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So, you know the formula here. Find a heavy favorite, bet them on the money line. You'll get your $250 in bonus bets, and then you can bet on those whatever you want. Money lines, just who's going to win. You can do point spreads. You can do over-unders, prop bets if you so choose. Plus, after games tip off, you can combine live prop bets into same-game parlays for a chance to win big. So visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on all the NBA play-in tournament action. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit is required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, You're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97, won the ticket. Hey, you were intrigued by the three-round mock from Mel and Field Yates, where they took turns going back and forth.
Yes.
What stood out to you?
Well, the pick that they had for the Lions is not a pick that I like at all.
And it was Mel that made the pick at 28. And the pick was Mykel Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia. What didn't you like about him?
Well, I'm not a big Mykel Williams fan. I don't think he's progressed all that much. He's one of these guys, one of many, that looks like he fits the part because of the size. And I just figured if you're a Georgia stud, if you're going to be a first-round pick from Georgia, you should fit the bill, and I don't think he does. I don't think there's anything impressive about him.
You know,
4.5 sacks, 4.5 sacks, 5 sacks. That's been his production. He's, like I said, he's got great size, 6'5", 265. That's prototypical, what you want coming off the edge. But, doesn't do a ton for me. Didn't have a bunch of tackles either, so it's not like it's some great run stuff as well. I don't like the pick that much. And you couple that with who they have them passing on. You know, if the Lions are going to take Mykel Williams at 28, and then you look past that pick and see, well, let's see, Jihad Campbell, linebacker, kind of putting them all different linebacking spots, edge, weak side, middle linebacker, he goes 32nd. Ezeraku is the guy that we both like a lot, and he goes.
You know, like him a lot.
I do like him a lot.
I do think he's in that pool of, I put him in the bucket of candidates there. I don't know if I like him. I think you like him more than I do. I'll give you that.
So he's the first pick that goes in the second round. I know some people might have Mykel Williams rated highly, and I just wonder how much of that is just because he went to Georgia as opposed to what you actually see when you watch him play. I mean, is he really this guy that's all over the field and making plays? I mean, they've had guys like that. No, Kobe Dean was that type of player. I mean, he was outside linebacker, but he was that type of player. Remember when Nolan came out, that it was the same thing. Everybody was based on, okay, he should be, he's so fast off the edge. He's going to have production at the next level, and, you know, kind of been slow to get there. I don't see it with Mykel Williams. There are other players I just would have taken ahead. I mean, Kenneth Grant goes 38 in this one for Kuiper. I like Kenneth Grant a lot. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, the edge rusher there. That's another guy. James Pierce goes 43 in this mock. But it's different, right? They're alternating picks, so it's not going to be your typical mock draft. It's an interesting way to do it with Field Yates and Mel Kiper. But I just didn't like it based on the players that were available to the Lions, and this is what they ended up with.
So the thing about Mykel Williams is he does look good in the suit. Like the production wasn't massive. He hurt his ankle early in the year, and he just kept re-injuring it as the season went on, and they really think that cut down on his production, but he toughed it out, and people really liked that about him, and that might be the explanation as to why. I mean, Shamar Stewart is another player. It's funny because I think there's a reason why all of these edge rushers that have high ceilings are available at 28, and that is you can shoot holes in all of them.
Yeah.
As Ezeraku, they say he doesn't have the prototypical size, and they're not sure he's got the frame to put it on. Mykel Williams, doesn't have the production dealing with an injury. Shamar Stewart certainly doesn't have the production, but off the charts in terms of the athleticism, and they think he can be the prototypical guy. Like all of these players, there's a reason why they aren't going where Abdul Carter is going. Right. James Pierce would be going with it where Abdul Carter was going if there weren't questions about, you know, off the field commitment to the game, attitude, all that stuff, right? And whatever it is that specifically they've honed in on that has people dropping James Pierce. So a lot of guys, a lot of questions. And if you sift through all that, it feels like there's gold somewhere. There's gold somewhere. You'll find that diamond, but you really got to do your homework.
Yeah, and look, I could warm up to the pick if that's who the pick is at the time, because I do trust Brad Holmes. I mean, pretty much implicitly, I trust Brad Holmes. Do whatever you're going to do. After a pick, if they end up selecting him, I'm curious to hear what he has to say about him as to why they like him.
Mikal Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll find that out next Thursday. It's going to be exciting.
So the other thing that and Colton Pouncey did a story on The Athletic about connecting dots and drawing conclusions and whether or not there's been a little bit of tipping of the hand. He did bring up something that Brad Holmes has said over and over and over again. Whenever the topic of edge rusher comes up, and it feels like their fans want a big move at edge rusher. They wanted Max Crosby. That didn't happen. Wanted Myles Garrett. That didn't happen. Now they want Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. And that seems unlikely, but he hasn't signed a contract or been traded anywhere. So as long as that hasn't happened yet, it feels like people will hang on to the hope that it could happen. But every time Brad Holmes, the topic of edge rusher comes up, he always says, hey, we got a guy. And he's referring to Aiden Hutchinson, but then says, we want three or four guys. And right now, it feels like they kind of have maybe 2.5 guys. And Colton Pouncey made the point in a column, paraphrasing here a little bit, do not be surprised at all if Brad Holmes is implying for the second year in a row, they might do the double dip. And if you look at the Kuiper and Field Yates back and forth draft, three round back and forth, when the Lions pick at 60, the kid from UCLA is there, Oluwafemi Oladejo, who is another edge rusher. Mm-hmm. And that could be
Landon Jackson from Arkansas is available.
The double dip. Because of the way this draft lays itself out.
Yeah, I could absolutely see a double dip because it's the position, it's the depth of that position. And I understand the need to want to have as many of those guys on your roster as you can. And, you know, they got a lot of soul searching to do. The Lions, the draft board is going to be really interesting because you know that you're going to have to replace some players. Or you've got concerns about others. Whether just look at the defensive line. I mean, we don't know how Aleem McNeil is going to respond to coming off a torn ACL. DJ Reader isn't going to be here much longer. So what do we got? We don't even know about Broderick Martin. He didn't see the field. So what do they have? They brought back Levi Onwuzurike and, all right, Josh Pascal, you know, Mekhi Wingo. Yeah. All right. They got guys that have potential, but have barely flashed at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Onwuzurike has flashed more than the rest of them, but I think throughout that defensive line, you could make arguments that, yeah, they need one defensive tackle, one defensive end, and one of either, you know, to put it up to 2-1. They need three defensive linemen. Maybe four.
I'm getting to the point now where my expectation for Brad Holmes in the draft is brilliance, so let me lay out the brilliant plan. And that is the first and second round picks are immediate impact guys that come in and play right away. The rest of the draft is your Christian Mahoganys, your Amon-Ra St. Browns, your Kirby Josephs, your guys that they have done in the past with great success that eventually are going to be your starters, that eventually that you're going to park and they don't have to play right away. And I don't mean I want them to go guard, wide receiver, safety. I mean, they go get in the mid to late rounds players that eventually are going to start and be good players for you because I expect brilliance. And so just go out and be brilliant. Just be brilliant and we'll be all good. Isn't that perfect?
That's just perfect, Doug.
Yep. Let's make this perfect.
And, you know, perfect could be an throw an offensive lineman in one of those first two picks. I mean, for me, I'd probably look at the best offensive lineman and so defensive that, lineman you can get.
Is that an immediate impact guy?
I think so.
Do you?
I mean, you've got one open guard spot for competition with Christian Mahogany being the front runner for that. You know, if you're hanging another year on the other guard, I can't think of the
Graham Glasgow.
Glasgow. If you're hanging another year on Glasgow, what's you know, are you expecting him to be playing at the higher level? I mean, he didn't have a great year last year, but I contend he's better off at right guard, so why not switch him over to the right side because Zeitler's not there. But you might have competition for both guards.
Yeah.
So if Gray Zabel is there at 28 and you think he's can't miss, he's plug and play, go get him.
There is a lot of guard love coming the Lions' way.
If Tyler Booker's there at 28,
we had the mocks over the weekend that both had Tyler Booker. There's a player that I've read more and more that's getting talked up, and either information is becoming more available or he's, quote, rising up draft boards, but that's Donovan Jackson, the interior offensive lineman out of Ohio State.
Got versatility, play inside, outside.
You don't have to look very far to find a mock with Gray Zabel going to Detroit. So we shall see.
He's all over the place, by the way. I just saw a mock draft recently where he was way higher. Was it this one, maybe? Where he was, like, in the teens.
Gray Zabel.
Yeah.
Was it this one?
It was 18 to Seattle.
There you go. 248-539-9797. That's available on ESPN.com. Tigers in action this afternoon. Do you like their lineup, Gator? You found something interesting. We'll get to that at 12:31. Hey, a great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. And that is where True Green comes in. They're the local experts in Detroit and the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Tiger baseball coming up. Kang, is it 41-40? Sorry, that was an off-the-air conversation that just got out on the air. So 41-40, which means 40-40.
Good job with the math.
Yeah, thank you.
So the Tigers...
I got to walk a 60-second live read right up to the
I post. Understand it. Tigers at Milwaukee this afternoon.
Yes.
Jose Quintana, the veteran left-hander on the hill for the Brewers.
Yes.
Against Cater Montero for the Tigers.
Yes.
Quintana has pitched one game so far this year. Went 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 2 strikeouts, no walks.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully good in his first outing of the season. Mm-hmm. But throughout his career, he's been a good pitcher, not a great pitcher. He's had flashes where he has been. Looks better than that. But the Tigers lined it because he's left-handed. I thought maybe this would be a day that you give Riley Green the day off. Colt Keith gets the day off. What about Kerry Carpenter? Now, of the three guys, Kerry Carpenter has actually had a little bit of a pulse against lefties this year. The other two are off to really slow starts. But the lineup is out, Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Leading off playing right field is Justin Henry Molloy. Followed by Gleyber Torres, who is your DH of the day, which is interesting, seeing that he's the DH. But in his career, he's 4-for-7 against Quintana, so it makes sense why he's in the lineup. Plus, he's right-handed. Andy Ibañez is your second baseman, so not Colt Keith. Has no at-bats against Quintana in his career. Torkelson is next. He will hit cleanup, followed by Riley Green in left field. Riley Green has no at-bats against Quintana in his career. He struck out 3 more times last night. He's in a 1-for-28 slump. A.J. Hinch going right back to him, saying, let's go. The fortunes are going to change at some point. Why not this afternoon? it's interesting. He gets the nod. He's left-handed going against the left-hander, and he's in a struggle. He's struggling right now. Javi Baez is hitting after that. He'll play third base. Baez is 2-for-5 in his career against Quintana, followed by Nido at catcher. It's not Dylan Dingler, but Dingler caught the last couple games, so maybe that's why that makes sense. Plus, day game after a night game, I get it, but I just like having Dylan Dingler in the lineup. Trey Sweeney is your shortstop, and Ryan Kreidler will play center field. Sweeney's left-handed as well, so that's interesting. But this is what happens when they don't have enough outfielders. So you have another lefty in the lineup there. They have a couple lefties in this lineup.
So a couple things here. One is, do you believe in the previous appearance thing? Like guys who, you know, you mentioned Gleyber Torres, 4-for-7 off him.
If they had a real sample size, I would. But I don't. 4-for-7 is that's great. Hitting .571 in his career with a home run against Quintana, but it's literally 7 at bats. So I'm not going to put too much stock into that. I would if there were like say 25 at bats, but that's, you'll see more of that when you get involved with in division stuff. But this is also a young team.
Yeah,
but Torres is a veteran.
Because if you're a big believer in that stuff, then there's no question a guy who's 1-for-1 and also has a walk should be in the lineup today.
Who's that?
Jack Flaherty. He has faced Quintana twice, and he singled and walked.
Well, Jack should be consideration for a pinch hitter then, yeah.
Every once in a while we get a text, and I wonder if the person is serious. The following text came in. Why so nice about Riley Green, but dog Javi?
Have you been listening to our show?
First of all, I mean, if I would describe, I don't think that we have spent a whole lot of time, as you turn it, dogging anybody. His struggles, though, Javi's struggles are well documented. The reward on having him in the lineup has not been there in Detroit. The reward for what he's getting paid, which is irrelevant as to whether or not he should be in any given lineup, but as long as he's here, we have not seen the reward for having Javi Baez in the lineup since he got to Detroit. We have seen reward for Riley Green being in the lineup. Have we not?
Yeah, he was an all-star last year.
So but, for, doesn't that answer the question?
Well, I would say what we've talked about specifically today, if you want us to quote unquote dog somebody, well, Riley Green, we mentioned a number of times, 1-for-his-last 28. He's striking out at an alarming rate this season. 3 more strikeouts last night. Yikes as to what he has done. Thank you. Thank you. Javi Baez actually has done a much better job so far this season in a small sample size. He's only got 41 at bats, but in the 41 at bats, he's only struck out 9 times. His strikeout rate has gone down significantly, all while hitting .268 on the season. He went 0-for-3 last night, but you pointed out earlier, smoked the ball.
Yep.
To left field, unfortunately, didn't get anything out of it. But no, I think Javi Baez is had a nice start to the season. Mentioned a number of times that like how he's playing third base defensively. He looks like a good fit there. And if he can hit like he's been hitting, he's not hitting bombs and he's not hitting a ton of doubles, but he's making contact with the ball, putting it in play, and actually getting on base with those hits.
We have really reprogrammed how we're evaluating Javi Baez, and it has everything to do with the fact that this team is contending and expected to contend for this division and expected to contend for the postseason. And that is, it's useless to think about Javi Baez in terms of whether or not he's worth the money he's getting paid. That is useless because he's not and he never will be. But is he worth it? Can he help this team win a game? Can he help them win? And the moment he is blocking somebody at AAA, I think they should cut bait and eat the loss. But there doesn't appear to be, you know, anybody that he's particularly blocking. At some point, they might say we'd rather have Jace Young at third base than Javi Baez. I don't think we're there yet. But, Scott, I'm just like, how can Javi help us win? How can Javi help us win? And it was that weird story yesterday about Gleyber Torres saying telling Javi, hey, man, last year when you were, we just knew to throw out of the strike zone to you. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way nobody in the Tigers organization wasn't telling him that last right. year, that they're not going to throw you strikes. Don't swing. So it's cool that Glaber's saying it. And maybe sometimes it's, you know, who the guy, whoever it is that tells you, it resonates more for whatever reason. Maybe hearing it from a player on another team that was on another team say it to you resonates more, whatever. But I'm sure the Tigers were telling him, don't swing at that pitch a foot out of the strike zone.
Yeah. Both players are, it's really interesting to see how they are struggling at different times. And right now it's Riley Green, not Javi Baez. Javi Baez looks like he's much better and much more adjusted to laying off that outside pitch. Mm-hmm. Riley Green has it's like a 42% strikeout rate right now. 42%. Mm-hmm. It's early. He can correct it. He's been a guy who has struck out a lot in his time, but not at this rate. This rate is alarming.
Yeah. So look, maybe that answers your question. I don't know that it needed to be answered necessarily, but we thought we would. Ryan Kreidler has 4 hits the entire season. 2 were bunts that should have been outs, and 1 was an infield single. This is who AJ is playing almost daily. Please do not praise him as anything but an okay manager who thinks he's smarter than anyone else.
Okay. Hook 'em. They made the playoffs last year with this team and with 2 starting pitchers down the stretch. You think AJ Hinch is he's a bad manager? Is that what you think?
Would Ryan Kreidler be anywhere near this lineup if Veerling and Parker Meadows were healthy?
No.
If Manuel Margot was healthy?
No.
If Wensiel Perez was healthy?
No.
Dude, there's 4 outfielders currently on the injured list. Is there not? So why do you think he's playing every day?
And he's not.
Why do you think he's here? I can't believe they had Hinkle here. You see that guy's
emergency
career?
Situation.
Yeah, these are guys that are only here because of all the injuries. So hopefully that answers the question. Tiger baseball coming up this afternoon. Tigers and Brewers. Tigers go to win another series. Can they do it? Keep it locked in here to 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Twin Peaks fans, it's hump day, and you know what that means. Bourbon and brews back at Twin Peaks. Every Wednesday, your favorite Twin Peaks girls dress to impress in their finest black lingerie, serving up samples of special bourbons and beers. Get there between 5 and 7 for sampling opportunities of those high-end bourbons and whiskeys and some of their famous craft cocktails. Enjoy them with the beer of the month, which is Bell's Oberon. What's better than the beautiful Twin Peaks girls and the awesome drinks? How about pairing it with some scratch-made food? As far as restaurants go, their food can compete with just about anyone. Hand-cut New York strip steaks, house-smoked ribs and brisket, and the best wings in the state. Have you had their wings? They're hand-cut and battered to order. All the boneless wings, the smoked wings, the naked and breaded wings, enough to tackle any appetite. The biggest ones you've seen. And you know what pairs well with wings and all your favorite sports action? Well, the beer. Twin Peaks should be your destination for sports all season long. 50-plus TVs, the best food and drinks in the state. Ask your Twin Peaks girls for awesome drink specials during every game. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.